If everybody could find their way to their seat, we'll get started. The scripture reading from this morning is from Psalm 55. If you're using the Bible under your seat, that's on page 326. You're welcome to open your Bible and follow along. It'll also be available on the screens. Psalm 55, the Word of God says, "To the choir master with stringed instruments, a Misgal of David, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Attend to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint, and I moan because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they drop trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness, Selah. I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls, and iniquity and trouble are within it. Ruin is in its midst. Oppression and fraud do not depart from its marketplace. For it is not an enemy who taunts me. They, I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me. Then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together. Within God's house we walked in the throng. Let death steal over them. Let them go down to Sheol alive, for evil is in their dwelling place and in their heart. But I call to God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and the noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, for many are arrayed against me. God will give ear and humble them, he who is enthroned from of old, Selah, because they do not change and do not fear God. My companion stretched out his hand against his friends. He violated his covenant. His speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, will cast them down into the pit of destruction. Men of blood and treachery shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you."
Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, this psalm speaks to a situation that is both very real and very heartbreaking and very sensitive. There are people here, most likely, who've been broken by betrayal, the kind that's talked about here. And for them, God, I pray that you would fill their hearts with a new sense of peace, a trust, a reliance upon you, an unshakable trust. And just as many as are here who have been betrayed, God, so it is also likely that there are betrayers here. People who have broken promises and inflicted deep wounds. For them, I pray that you would give them an overwhelming sense of soberness. If there is unrepentant sin, may you just expose it and give a grief that leads to repentance, that leads to life. You can do that, God. You change hearts every single day. And I pray for my words, God, as these things strike me even in my own soul, and for this moment that we have, I pray that my words would be pleasing to you, and that my heart would be pleasing to you, and that you would be glorified above all, and that we would turn in the right direction. In Jesus' name, amen. In this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes. When Benjamin Franklin penned those words, he notably did not include friendship, loyalty, as something that he felt was reliable. He didn't mention any of the relationships which in many ways define, form, shape every one of our lives. He didn't mention those. He did not say that friends are reliable. He didn't say that family is reliable. He didn't include loyalty in that two-item pessimistic list, death and taxes. And this, of course, is because though we give our hearts away to friends, like in trust, friends, spouses, family, it is true that we cannot be certain that any human relationship will last. Even those relationships designed to last a lifetime, we cannot be certain they will last. In this world, the loyalty of your friend, spouse, mother, father, child is not certain. This is painfully obvious. This week specifically, something went viral. The internet was flooded with a memeified version of this picture where, though it's been laughed at and jokified, Andy Byron, a corporate CEO, was captured unaware on a Jumbotron kiss cam at a Coldplay concert on Wednesday in Foxborough, Massachusetts. And he was with someone who was not his wife, and he was holding her in an intimate way, a fellow employee of his company. In this world, even marital loyalty is not certain. Have you been betrayed? You might be going through that now, or will one day. If so, you need Psalm 55. Psalm 55 is about the heavy burden of betrayal. It's about the impact that that burden has on a life, on a heart. And most importantly, Psalm 55 is about what you do with the burden. What are you going to do with the burden? What do you do when you're betrayed? For us to grasp the full weight of the psalm, I'd like to begin where the psalmist ends. The second to last verse, verse 22, I want to just focus on that first line and just have this in your mind as we go through. I'm going to use it as sort of a springboard. After all that's been said and done, he's poured out his heart, this horrible burden, this betrayal he's going through. The psalmist says these words for you and me and for his own heart. Cast your burden upon the Lord. That's where it ends. That's the word of encouragement for the psalmist's heart, for your heart. So if you only remember one thing out of the next 35, 45 minutes, remember that. Cast your burden on the Lord. If you came this morning with a burden, this is what this means. The psalmist wants you to do something with the burden. He's got a weighty burden, and he resolves to cast the burden upon the Lord. And my heart and my prayer for you is that you would do the same. Give it over to God. To walk through the psalm, let's do three things. Let's consider the burden. Let's get a picture of it. What's the burden he's bearing, this betrayal? And then second, we'll look at the impact. We're going to spend most of our time on that first one. Secondly, briefly, the impact that the burden is having on his life. And then finally, third and finally, we'll just go back to 22 and walk that out. Cast our burden upon the Lord. Okay? So first, what burden is the psalmist bearing? His burden, this problem situation, is of course an enemy. So often in the Psalms, the psalmist's problem is a burden brought about by another person, the evil of man or an enemy. But this enemy is unique in two ways. You may have noticed. This enemy is close. This enemy is close to the psalmist in two ways. First, this enemy is physically close. The psalmist wants us to see how physically close this enemy is. Near proximity. You can see that in verse 3. He can hear him. The noise of the enemy. He can feel the trouble that the enemy is dropping on his head. So he's burdened by an enemy. It's close, physically. Verses 9 through 11, though, they even more reveal the closeness of this enemy, how physically close this enemy is. If you look at verses 9 through 11, he's inside and outside my city, God. Do you see that in verses 9 through 11? Violence and strife in the city. You could say the enemy is immersed in the psalmist's life. He's in the psalmist's sphere of influence. He's in the place where the psalmist has responsibility. David was the king. David is the psalmist here, the ruler. He's responsible for the city. And the enemy's in his city. He's in his house. He's in his workplace. He's in his church. The enemy is close at hand. Inside, outside the city. You can see that in verses 9 through 11. He's on the walls. He's even in the marketplace. The enemy is very close, and that makes the burden heavy. It's a hard burden to bear with an enemy so close by. But that's not what he really wants to say about the closeness of this enemy. Not just physically close. The psalmist explains that the enemy is relationally close, emotionally close. Look at verses 12 through 14. Look at the relational, emotional closeness that the psalmist shared with this enemy. He's not only physically close. Yeah, you can hear him. Yes, he's on the walls. Yes, he's in the city. Yes, he's in the marketplace. The enemy was a friend, emotionally close. Relationally close. Look at verse 12. It's not an enemy who taunts me, even though it is an enemy. Then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me. Then I could hide my face from him. But it is you, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. The psalmist says, my enemy's not an enemy in the normal sense. This isn't a normal kind of enemy. He's not a faraway foreigner competing for land and resources. He doesn't claim another god or another king. If that were the case, I could understand that. And we have many enemies that we know of that we can understand that you would expect to be enemies. Maybe another country or another worldview. My enemy is my own companion, my familiar friend, the psalmist says. He is burdened with the betrayal of someone he once called friend. That's a heavy burden to bear, isn't it? And look at verse 14. This is a close friend. This is a close friend. We used to take sweet counsel together. We were so close. We were accountability partners. We confessed sins to one another. We were business partners. We were close friends. Within God's house, we walked in the throng. We used to go to church together. We shared the same worldview. We claimed the same understanding of God. We claimed the same understanding of sin. The psalmist, his great burden is the betrayal of a former friend, a very close former friend. Once a companion, the enemy is physically and relationally close. You can see in verses 20 through 21, so this is how close he is. This is verses 20 through 21 give us a picture of the path that traitors go down. This is how he became a betrayer, this once friend. He was butter-tongued. You see that in verse 20? His speech was smooth as butter. His words were softer than oil. He was a smooth talker. When we say today that somebody's a smooth talker, we mean that they have a they've got powerful words. They're good at influencing with their words. However, just as in the psalmist's day, smooth talkers, that's what they're known for. They're known for smooth words. They're not known for upright action. Maybe you would associate it with a politician. Smooth talker, says all the right things. Not smooth deeds. And thus, he's a backstabber, this former friend. Butter-tongued, smooth talker, says all the right things, and he betrays. He wins you with savory words, and then he has actions right behind that betray his smooth speech. And thus, the psalmist says in verse 20, he violated his covenant. He broke his promise. He stretched out his hand against his friends. A covenant's a solemn promise. Like a marriage vow, signed contract. The former friend was a promise breaker. His speech was smooth as butter. His hands and feet were not. We need to pause here for a moment, I think. Let's press into that. Because there's something to learn about the way a friend, this friend, became an enemy. And it is very applicable for us. There's a warning for our own hearts here to test ourselves. And the warning is this: when your words and your deeds are out of step with one another, you are walking the path of a betrayer. That's how he became a betrayer. Smooth speech, hypocritical actions. Betrayal happens when there's a disconnect between our words and our deeds. You draw a friend in and build trust with words and undermine trust with inconsistent deeds. We've got to be careful of our words and deeds. Are you a smooth talker? Are you butter-tongued? Do you love to look good with your words? It'll only be a matter of time, I'm telling you. Living that life, building a shell, it's like an eggshell of words, it's going to crack. You're going to betray. You'll get caught. I only a matter of time. It's hypocrisy. And it's hypocrisy that God already sees. Do you see what verse 19? The God who is enthroned from of old is the one the psalmist is appealing to because he sees. He's there before the betrayer gets there. God has long ruled and reigned, and he's totally aware of what you've done if you're butter-tongued. Do you want a personal example from someone's life? Let's look at David. David, the author, knew what it was like. He had a former friend once. He played the butter-tongued backstabber. David did. You remember last week? You remember a man named Uriah, as Bert shared, Pastor Bert? David was a smooth talker to Uriah, and he got him killed to hide his own sin. David was a betrayer. He led a man to his own death to hide his sin. If you're like me, you often read the Bible as a hero. I'm the hero in this story. Don't you do that? I do that. I'm the betrayed one in this story, and that's not necessarily wrong. It's good to read it from David's perspective. But maybe you're the betrayer this morning. Maybe you are under a different weight right now. Maybe you're not burdened by betrayal, but you're under a different burden, a burden of judgment because you've been a betrayer. Or maybe you're doing it now to someone. You might be playing that former friend. Is someone in your life under the burden of betrayal that you have laid upon them? Have you been a smooth talker? If that's you, I ask you what the psalmist asks to God. Will you not fear God? See that in verse 19? Will you not change right now? Will you not fear God and repent right now? Are you a smooth talker? The former friend is under judgment because he will not change. He will not fear God. He's going down the path and he's not turning around. But you can, right now. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive anything you've done wrong and cleanse you from all unrighteousness because of Jesus. Let's go back. How close is the enemy? Really close. The enemy is really close. This is a heavy burden. This is a hard burden to carry. Maybe one of the hardest. To be abandoned by someone who once loved you. We give our hearts rightly to friends, family, spouse, and these things can seem so certain, so rock solid, and in a moment fall apart. And that's with all human relationships. It is. You cannot be certain that your mom and dad will always love you. You cannot be certain that your child will always receive you. You cannot be certain that your pastor will always walk in the truth. You cannot be certain that your dearest friend, the one that right now you can call anytime, at any place, and they'll answer, and you can load your heart upon them, you cannot be certain that they will always be your friend. This is a heavy burden to bear. And so we see the impact. which is point two. Verses 4-8. Look at the impact that this abandonment has on the psalmist's life. Look at verses 4-5. All I can call this, if I just sum it up, emotional anguish. My heart is in anguish within me. Verse 4. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and the horror overwhelms me. Panic attack, deep anxiety. It's a bad place to be when betrayed. Painful, emotionally overwhelming. And there is more. With that emotional turmoil comes a huge desire to run. Do you see verses 6-8? Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. I would go to the wilderness if I could get away from this situation. Find a shelter. He wants nothing more than to flee from his burden. But there's a problem. He can't run away. He wants to flee, but he can't flee. He can't grow wings and fly. Why? We saw it in verse 12. This isn't a normal adversary. If it was an adversary, I could hide from him. Your standard issue adversary. You could hide from that kind of enemy, but the psalmist can't run away from this situation. And he cannot run because he's got a responsibility in it. Not that he caused it. He has a responsibility in it. It's in his sphere of influence. It's in his place. It's in his city. It's his friend. He can't just cut and run. It's close at hand. And the same is true for us. We're good at running. I don't know about you. We're good at unfollowing. We're good at unfriending. In this situation, the psalmist cannot fly away. It's in his sphere of influence. He has a responsibility. David fled many times in his life. He fled many times. And in the situations of his fleeing, he always fled in relation to the responsibility he bore. King Saul wanted to kill him. He fled as if Saul was his king and sought to honor him. When his own son Absalom wanted his head, he fled like fleeing from a son that wants to kill you, longing for his repentance and restoration. We're good at running. In this case, the psalmist sees, I've got a responsibility. This is in my city. I cannot fly away. I was talking to Liz about this the other day. Sometimes when, this is a kid situation, sometimes when your kids are an enemy to you and will not obey and you're in the thick of it, sometimes you want to run away. They're your kids. You have a responsibility to stand your ground. That should affect how you handle the betrayal of sin. So that's the impact of the burden. Emotional anguish, the desire to flee. Now let's go back to verse 22. Close that third and final point. So Psalm 55, it's got that burden, first of all, we looked at. The burden of this close betrayal. And then second, the emotional impact. An impact that is so rending in your heart that you want to run. And third and finally, what are you going to do about it? And this is how the psalm ends. Here's what you do. Cast your burden. Cast it. Heave it upon the Lord. How? Consider the psalm. How do I do this? I think Psalm 55 is the psalmist casting his burden upon the Lord. It's the act of doing it. And there's three aspects to it. Just look at these real quickly. First, honestly. Cast your burden honestly. Twice, he calls this a complaint. Two times, verse 2, verse 17, brutally honest about how he feels. You can see it in verses 1 through 2. You can see it in verse 17. Blood, earnest, felt honesty in the form of a complaint to God. He's frustrated. Are you listening? Attend to me. Answer me. I am restless in my complaint and I moan. Cast your burden honestly, but you can't just do that. Number two, cast your burden constantly. Look at verse 17. He's praying over and over and over again, evening and morning and at noon, until there is relief. And it might come in peace from that anxiety. The anxiety will flee and you'll move forward in confidence. My life is not defined by that betrayer. Constantly until peace. Or there may be constantly until, if by God's grace, God restores the enemy back to you. They may turn and fear God. They may repent. And you could be restored. Constantly until restoration. Or constantly until God's judgment comes. Their life may fall apart because of all the fractures of mistrust they have made. Cast your burden constantly upon the Lord. One thing I've learned in life is the stinging remembrance of an enemy in my mind is a first red flag warning sign to pray for that enemy. They're on my mind. Maybe I need to be praying for them, that they would repent, that they would return, that we'd be restored, that I wouldn't fixate on them and what they've done. Cast your burden constantly. Number three, cast your burden hopefully. If you're going to complain, complain with hope. He's crushed under the weight of the burden, and yet he reminds himself, this God is reliable. Verse 16, the Lord will save me. Verse 18, he redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage. Verse 19, God will give ear. He's going to hear. He's going to answer. He's praying with hope. And then, of course, he will sustain. Verse 22. Cast your burden with hope. Cast your burden hopefully. Honestly, hopefully, constantly. Cast your burden on the Lord. Cast it on the Lord. Why? Why can you cast your burden on the Lord? Why is it so beneficial to cast your burden on the Lord? He knows what it means to be betrayed. Is there any being in the universe that knows what you're going through more than the Lord? I'm just asking. I don't think there is. There isn't. There is no being in the universe that knows betrayal more intimately and personally than the one who made all things, than a God who created a people who daily prefer dumb things to a they prefer dumb things over a personal relationship with God. He knows betrayal. He knows what betrayal is like. Human history is a story of betrayal. But we can zoom in even further, right? He knows specifically God the Son, Jesus Christ. He knows what betrayal is like. The one we're called to cry to, the one that we can sing to, the one we can cry out to for mercy. Betrayal is what led Jesus to the cross. The Son of God went to the cross to suffer and die for you as a result of deep personal betrayal. Did he not? The betrayal of a kiss by a former friend, Judas. But even more so, your sin, your betrayal of him, your abandonment of God was why Jesus, a reason why Jesus went to the cross. The cross awaited Jesus because of your sin. And if it weren't enough for that, he remained on the cross, forsaken by God the Father because of your sin, so that you would never be forsaken again. This is where you can get happy and hopeful and rejoice, as Jesus is saying in the most climactic moment of history, my God, why have you forsaken me? You can know you will never be forsaken. So you can cast your burden upon the Lord because he was forsaken. Jesus, God in Christ, tasted bitter forsakenness to restore traitors like you and me back to God. So you can cast your burden on that God, not any other God. If you got Jesus, you got a friend. He knows betrayal. If you got Jesus, you got a substitute. He took what you deserve. If you've got Jesus, you've got a God who will never betray you. That's good news. Cast your burden upon the Lord. Throw your life upon him, and he will sustain you. Do you see that? He will sustain you. The promise is endurance. He promises to give you endurance. Where you're going in a life dependent upon the Lord, where you're going, your direction, good place. Can't say that about the betrayer. It can't be said of the betrayer. In fact, the psalmist knows God is just. He knows the path of the betrayer, and it's not good. But he promises to sustain you if you cast your burden upon him. He promises to hold you. He promises to keep you. You will not be cut off. You will not be abandoned. The Lord will not reject you. So Benjamin Franklin, he was wrong. Partially correct, right? Yes, you cannot rely on the loyalty of a friend. Death and taxes might be more certain than a loyal friend. But he failed to admit the one certainty that grounds all certainties, the God of heaven and earth. In the betrayal, in the emotional burden of the betrayal, cast your burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Let's pray. Give us grace, sustaining, sovereign grace, Father, to keep us. We need you more than we need air and water and food. We need you more than we need loyal friends. Please be with us, God. Thank you for knowing us. Thank you for dying for us. In Jesus' name, amen.